Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Kevin, guess what?
What, Rob?
We now have over 50 iTunes reviews.
Huzzah!
Huzzah! Indeed! Oh. We are climbing those iTunes rating charts.
That's amazing. Yeah. How do we climb even higher?
Can you take me high enough? Little Rock of Ages for you.
Do you know I like that you took it up so high too? You didn't even, you like went right to the tenor place.
I was going
to
do climb.
No Robert Goulet.
Like, no. Can you take me high enough?
Thanks for coming out tonight.
Ooh, and my falsetto there.
Thank you.
And a little Sergio Frankie?
Yeah, a little Sergio.
It's never over. Much like the 24-hour buffet down in the lobby of the Dunes Casino. Me and Sid the Caesar. Tonight's only at the Mirage. Sorry. Well, lovely listeners, this is where you come in. This is how we're going to climb those iTunes rating charts.
That's right. Lovely listeners, if you love us, would you go to iTunes, click on the iTunes store, search for Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends.
Then click on Ratings and Reviews. Under the Customer Reviews, click Write a Review. Then let us know what you think from 1 to 5 stars.
That's right. And you can leave comments, too, like Kevin Thomas is a god.
Or, Rob, who the hell is Hervé Villechaize?
Who is Hervé
Villechaize?
I fell for it again.
You fell for it.
That wasn't even the script.
The man has never done one musical in his entire life, and he gets mentioned more than Stephen
Sondheim. Right, but I love him from James the Bond. Okay, anyway.
Oh, yes.
Guys, help us out.
Please. Thanks, everyone.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to part two of our interview with the wonderful Charles Strauss. This interview is going to pick up with It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It is Superman. Once again, our apologies about the audio quality. We worked very hard to fix it so you could hear all of Charles's brilliance and very exciting news for Behind the Curtains, Broadway's Living Legends. Charles is going to talk about the wonderful musical Nick and Nora. And if you want to hear about more of Nick and Nora, please come out to Feinstein's 54 Below on May 2nd for the Nick and Nora reunion concert, produced and directed by one of our wonderful faithful listeners, Stephen Carl McCasland, and narrated by yours truly. Also, the cast features Barry Bostwick, Joanna Gleason, Chris Sarandon, and Christine Petty. How cool is that? So join us for that on May 2nd at Feinstein's 54 Below, the Nick and Nora reunion concert. That's a 7 o'clock show and a 9:30 show. But enough self-promotion about myself. Let's go back to Charles.
Then, after Golden Boy, comes another one of everybody's favorites. Boy, Charles Strauss is really everybody's favorite composer.
It's true.
We're not saying that just to be nice. It's very
really
true.
Nice
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so joyous and so wonderful. Now, okay, so this is also your first collaboration with Hal Prince as director? Is that right?
Yes.
So what is it like working with Hal Prince before he really became...
Oh, no, he was Hal Prince then.
Mostly as a producer,
is
that correct?
Yeah, not as a director as much. Wonderful. I mean, we became the closest friend. We went through one very bad period, and I don't remember why that was. Oh, yes. It was at the end of the run of Superman. He did what everybody wants to do, but I felt unfairly that... it oughtn't to be, and that is closing night. Before closing night, he went to Europe.
Oh.
And that's the night when we all needed him.
Of course.
But he explained to me, and he was hurt by my thinking that, but we've remained very close friends.
Yeah. Before we went on the air, you were saying that you two are a little competitive with each other? And
oh, well, just joking, because he went to the University of Pennsylvania. He said, I went when I was 16. And I said, Hal, I went to college when I was 15.
We just wanted that on record, that way that you got to one-up him a little bit. Whose idea was to take the Superman comic strip and make it into a musical?
Yeah. It was not our idea. It was David Newman. And who was the other author? That's terrible. David Newman and these are really good friends. David passed on. It was David Newman's son's idea.
Okay.
He came to us one day and he said,
really?
My son had a great idea, I think. And we said, oh, we love it. We love it. And it was hard to do, but it was so much fun.
What were some of the challenges of putting this on stage?
Well, I can't remember all of them, but I mean, certainly as far as my job was, I couldn't do it as science fiction. I had to find a tone for it where it was real. I think Lee expressed it best in a song like You've Got Possibilities. Mm. That it's not a love song. There is one love song of What I've Always Wanted, which I thought Lee solved terrifically because it was all about her. It was all about Lois.
Mm-hmm.
And he never... his song, we tried to capture Clark Kent's quality when it became, which was my job, doing good.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Every man has a job to do. And we found the right guy for it. He was so sincere. He went out to sign autographs at the end of the show in his Superman, and he started to believe he was Superman. Hi, kids. He was an actor, a singer, a baritone, wonderful guy, and but he started to assume the cape. You know?
Oh, wow!
Hey, thank you for coming, kids. I used to like to see him do it after the
That's
show.
That's so cool. Yeah. Most stars jump in the car and they go away.
Get out of here!
But he's still in character. I love that. Jack Cassidy.
Oh, Jack was. I loved him.
He was my favorite. My favorite Golden Age performer is Jack Cassidy.
Me too. And personally, we were very, very close.
I was curious what kind of memories you had of him.
Very, very sweet memories.
Yeah.
He was the, almost, you'd say, the classic Pagliacci type. He the funny guy who had a lot of... sadness underneath a lot of. I've read two of his plays. He was a very good author. I don't know how good, because we were very good friends and I read them a long time ago, but he wrote about his Irish family. And he was very full of a great deal of sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say he was one of the closest friends I made from the theater. Mm-hmm. You know, usually you break up with everybody.
Right, or the show closes, or it moves on.
You think you're going to be friends forever.
Totally.
But I stayed friends with Jack for a long time. And I don't know where to start about it. He was just a very, very decent man who had a very strong, tragic strain in him.
Yeah.
And I read two of his plays, one of which I remember, about an Irish family and all. It was full of the most heartfelt sentiment. And he died in the most, you know, surprising way.
Ugh, way too soon.
I didn't even know he was a playwright. I didn't know that he had a role.
No, he wasn't known as that. It was because we were friends. He showed them.
And he said, oh, I'm working.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that. I would love to see.
Jeez, I wish. Yeah,
I don't remember much about them. Except that they were surprisingly sad and touching.
Mm.
And he was just a lovely guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a talent, too. Boy, he could sing. I mean,
and act. Funny.
Yeah.
And sexy. He was everything.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have anybody like that that equals him today.
No, I agree. The whole thing was that he never took himself seriously, and yet he played as though he was taking himself seriously.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Luckily, there's some film clips of him that...
I'm thankful for
that. Yeah, are still around. You know, it's going away from Broadway for a second. All in the Family. That is just, everybody knows this. How did that come about? How did people approach you and Mr. Adams and go, would you want to write a theme song for us?
Because I had done the music for The Night They Raided Minsky's.
Yes.
And so Norman and I were friends. And he said he had this idea from a British series called Till Death Do Us Part, I believe. And he had gotten CBS interested in it. And asked Lee and me to do the theme song.
Wow.
And, which then he and CBS took half of it. Yeah. Oh. I see Norman every once in a while. I said, there must be a way that we can get it. It's ours. But now they've sold it. So
of course
it's probably the most performed song we've ever had. And we get, Lee and I split half.
Wow.
So,
oh my God,
CBS
I didn't know that.
And Norman get the other half.
When you're writing a song for a show for Norman Lear and you're doing it for this show, do you write the song and then they come back at you and say, all right, that's great. Can you make it a little happier though? Or do they give
you notes? I've done that. I mean, I've been in advertising, so. Yeah, I was music director of an advertising company during a year of my life. But in this particular case, Norman had the script, and we saw the British script, and we came up with this song idea, which he liked.
Yeah.
That was it.
Nice.
Yeah. But it came from, but the idea of it and how it was staged came from something that it's not worth saying that I get the credit for, but it's true. My mother used to sit around when we were kids. My mother was a pianist, mm-hmm. and she played because he wanted to do it originally with a chorus and soloist.
Oh, interesting.
And I told him when I grew up, my mother used to play. We would all sing the popular songs. So he liked that. But that was, I would say, my idea.
Yeah.
And it's so iconic. I mean,
completely.
Look, I'm telling you, it's so iconic. Yeah. You know that.
No, I don't.
It certainly is.
That's incredible. I didn't know that you only received half of that, and then you have to split your half.
Of course, with Lee, properly.
Yeah.
But, I would think I was with him about a year and a half ago. I just called him and went over to his house and had a drink. And just at the time, he was making this giant sale of the publishing, of which the song, I said, Norman, can't we get that back? It's a big song. He said, oh, no. He said CBS won't, like it was all CBS. But he and CBS own half of the song.
Okay.
Well,
thank you for writing it. And hopefully our heartfelt thanks will suffice for the millions of you've lost on it. How do you write a musical for someone that has a limited vocal range? And that's applause.
In this particular case, she's terribly musical, Betty.
That's what we've heard.
Yeah.
We've interviewed quite a few people that
Don Pippin said that. Who else did? Len Cariou.
Len Cariou.
Yeah. We interviewed him. Yeah.
Even Leroy Reams talked about it a little bit too.
Yeah, she's very musical.
Yeah.
And a very, I think she's genuinely modest, but she plays the modest game a great deal.
Yeah.
You know, because I taught her all the songs, and when I was working with her, I think she was more frightened than I was, and I was pretty, there's Lauren Bacall.
Right, of course.
Here? She was really scared and yet anxious to do it. She said she had never gotten up in front of people unless it was very dark in the room. But the fact that she was just very musical.
Yeah. So it was easy to... It was easy to construct that then.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Were you intimidated by the fact that it was such an iconic movie? How do you bring...
Yes, I was, but I knew Joe Mankiewicz. That was a big feather in my cap.
Yeah,
and Joe and I were actually became friends, and good friends. He was a wonderful man, and inadvertently, Lee made a terrible mistake when we won the Tony. I've never forgiven Lee for this, whom I love, but Betty and Adolf and Lee and I. When we won the Tony, we were thrilled, and somebody had to make the speech. And It was Lee. And I said to Lee, if there's one, Lee was drunk. That's inexcusable. I don't care how drunk you are. You can do something like this. And I said to Lee, one thing you have to do is mention Joe Mankiewicz. It's his baby. He created the story.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that we became good friends. And Lee, who was very drunk, so I should forgive him, but I don't, he got out there and said, I'd like to thank Betty and Adolph and never mentioned Joe's name. And it turned out Joe was very hurt by him, who had been a friend of mine, and he's dead, and I can't ever explain to him that it was Lee who was drunk who didn't do it. But the whole thing is Joe Mankiewicz. He created that story from nowhere.
Yeah.
I'm a wonderful man.
What movie did you work on with him? He hired you for this lovely poster behind me.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, there was a crooked man.
Yeah.
Joseph L. Mankiewicz production.
Yeah, that's where I met
that's
him.
That's incredible. And what a cast in this one. Kirk Douglas, Henry Fonda.
Yeah, what a bomb. It was.
That's okay.
What
a bomb.
Burgess Meredith? Well, my goodness.
It wasn't
the poster artist.
It wasn't as good as it should have been. And obviously, I take some of the blame because the score was, when I see the picture now, it's what I would call picayune. You know, it was a little, I can't think of the word, like too, it tried too hard.
Yeah,
it
didn't have earnest.
My opinion only, applause, the score is so celebratory. It's celebratory of love, it's celebratory of the theater, it's celebratory of success. Do you enjoy writing those celebration songs more than you enjoy writing a ballad, let's say?
I would say that the process, now look, you guys are writers and maybe performers, you consider yourself, I don't know. It's the whole process is just part of my
love all of it.
Blood flow,
I have to ask you, I love applause, and it's a CD that I play quite often. There's a CD though that features some cut songs from applause. One of my favorites is The Loneliest Man in Town.
Oh yeah,
that you sing on the CD.
Yes,
The Loneliest Man in Town.
I don't remember it. I mean, I remember the title. And
yeah, it must have been one of your demos or something.
Yeah, it's on
a whole younger generation. It's a bonus on the CD where we know your voice. You like this?
Love this song.
It's a great song.
So much. I was going to ask you why it was removed from the show, but...
It was a crowded show. There is talk that it's going to be done next year, applause, with Audra McDonald.
That's great.
Very, very strong talk about it. Mm. I don't know whether contracts have been signed. And hearing this and being very complimented, maybe I now remember it was really typically Lee. He's very snide about, the Walter Winchells of the world.
Right.
He's a journalist.
Right. Sure. Of course. He's sensitive to that.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Oh, it's good.
So when Audra does it, if she wants to sing it, great.
Well, I don't even know whether I should say it. It certainly hasn't been announced.
Yeah.
And three-quarters of these things never happen.
Of course.
So. Right.
But still. But still. And luckily, there's a TV version of it that was filmed...
Yes, in London, as I recall.
In London, yeah.
With Bacall?
Yeah. With Bacall,
And
she never stopped working. She had 2 weeks vacation. So what does she do? She gets an extra... $10,000 or something. She was very money conscious.
Mm. Mm.
That's so good.
Wow.
That's...
And Len Cario was telling us that she had approval. Like she could approve who was going to play opposite her.
Yes.
Because he had to audition for her as well.
Yes. But I think I wasn't privy to those discussions. But I would think that would be the case in any case.
With the star.
Yeah.
The star.
That makes sense.
And also it's a love story. And, and it was also very hard to find that character because guys were, either a little gay or a little too... she needed somebody who was rough with her because she was a real, strong-willed woman.
It was the perfect...
It's perfect
casting.
And you can even hear it on the recording.
Yeah.
Was there ever a project that you turned down And then you said to yourself, "Ah, damn it! Why did I do that?"
I'm such a glutton that I can't remember any turning down anything. Now, along with that, I've got to say I haven't been offered that many things, but I can't remember one that I there must have been some. Well, yes, there have been, or the collaborator didn't want to do it. But most shows that get to the point of being able to offer it, having bona fides at all, I can't remember. There are shows I think I ought to have. I was just looking at Dance a Little Closer, where Alan and I became good friends, but I never liked it. He was in London, and he flew over. I loved Alan. My wife did not like Alan. In fact, she's one of my only collaborators that she didn't like. There was something about him. But I loved him. He was great fun and he lied about everything. But he lived so grandly.
Yeah.
When he died, I was not in the hospital room, but he ordered champagne. And the week that he was dying, and there I was with him.
Everyone's favorite, Annie, is...
Well, it's been awfully good to me.
And it's been awfully good to us as a population.
Yeah.
It did that rare thing, which was it crossed over into all different types of media.
Yes,
and it's still right. And it's still with us.
Oh yeah,
today
generations across the world.
We have a very profitable road tour that's been
still
going
on. Yeah,
yeah, been 3 years, 4 years.
Three? Are we at three movies now? Three movie versions of this.
Yeah,
three movie versions plus your road tour plus revivals.
Yeah,
not to mention the countless productions across the country.
Yeah. Community theaters, high elementary schools,
all of that. Yeah,
and the man who had faith in it all along was Martin Charnin.
And
Martin and I are old friends. But when he told me about the idea, I thought, oh, God. But then again, I must say that Tom and I, but Tom I'd like to give all the credit to, he had a totally different idea, the way to do it. And it was really Tom who brought it down to earth and to the show that it was today. I'm talking about the style, the color, the reality of it. He had a totally different idea. Pictures of Bernadette Peters doing it and things like that. To me, Tom and Martin, but Tom particularly is the hero of Annie.
Wow.
It's a wonderful book.
Yeah.
And he was so, I can't say enough about it. You know, rewriting, well, you guys are in the business.
Mm-hmm.
It's awfully hard rewriting. Tom... Mm-hmm. Came up with a new scene the next
just
day.
Just like, and, mm-hmm. Throw that out there.
Worked hard, but he's a wonderful man.
That's incredible.
And so is Martin. I mean,
of course. Well, we've interviewed Martin too. Yeah.
How do you structure when it's time for a song?
I would say there it's instinct. I would say it's instinct, and you're right. Some of the time, as a matter of fact, talking about Annie, I think we wrote. And maybe Martin will verify this for you. We wrote at least three different openings for Annie before Maybe came around. I think Maybe was one of the last songs in the show.
Yeah, Martin was telling us that.
He did tell us that.
Yeah, he did tell us when we spoke to him.
We had apples, and then we had another one about the Depression. We couldn't get the show open, and
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com.
Great expectations.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Wow. When you're working on a show, how do you like to receive notes, feedback, criticism?
During it or...
During it. So let's say during the preview period or the rehearsal period.
Well, first of all, I do everything for my wife. She's a writer. She's a former dancer. And she loves me. Crazy. And I love her.
That's good. Pretty good.
And she's, you know, as a dancer, she has a, she's show-wise. And she's not feeling well, all right. I asked her to come in and meet you.
Oh,
she's
all right.
She's under the weather. And I do it for her, basically. And since in this show, I'm not collaborating with anybody. I'm doing everything myself. The first time I'm going to hear it is going to be when I do it for a group of people. And as I said, if you guys have...
Oh, friends, yeah.
We'd be honored.
I'm
yeah.
just going to have people that some show-wise and yeah. some, you know...
Yeah.
Relatives of relatives,
sure,
that kind
sure.
of thing. Maybe 12, 13 people.
Oh, lovely.
And so you'll...
That's great.
So you test it. You test it on your wife first, close family
and friends. I would say
friends.
I test it on my wife.
Yeah, and then when you're actually in the preview period, you listen to the audience. I mean, everyone's going to have an opinion. Everyone's going to tell you, you know...
Well, you get an opinion from the audience if you listen closely, which pros do. You hear the rustle of programs.
Yeah.
You know... Mm-hmm. That scene is not happening. There are a lot of clues.
What do you like out of a director?
Well, I've worked with so many different ones. Gower, who was so creative, was a very difficult man to work with. He was not easygoing, charming. When we break up, I will think of some smart answer to give you.
I've liked
a lot of directors. A lot of directors I have not liked who have been very good. A lot of directors I've loved, like Josh, who was so sick mentally during the thing. I guess it's somebody who takes your vision and loves it, but enhances it. I
think that's a great answer.
I think that's a great
answer. I think that's a wonderful answer.
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Because it's just hard to say.
Yeah, right. I'm sure every project's a little different with how the director works on it. Because some shows nowadays, a director might get in early and help develop the piece.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should focus it this way.
Practically always on musicals, there are so many elements aside from the music and the dancing and the... there are so many staging things that I think most directors who can put on a big musical have genius about them.
Yeah.
So many elements to control that needs an atomic scientist to really gather them all.
I'm sorry. Am I correct in saying that this year marks the 40th anniversary of Annie? Am I right on that? 2000?
No, I've never counted it. I don't know.
I was going to say, even though there's so many productions of it and so many people do it, are you still involved or do you still like to be involved?
Well,
when
I like
a tour comes out,
a
revival. So you're not sick of it at this point. You're not, you don't. So this is something I did 40 years ago. I'm leaving it to somebody else.
No, I'm not sick of it. I mean, we're going over to London. It's opening there again, I think, for the third time.
That's great.
Wow.
And nowadays we're in the position where we say, okay, we have 2 first-class tickets.
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
And
do you ever hear a piece of yours from years ago and go, oh, boy, I wish I could have done this, or, now I know how to solve that?
Well, I certainly hear things that I've written that I think I could have done better. I don't know. It's a tough one.
We think you did great, so don't worry about it.
Yeah,
it's a trick question.
I don't know. Being a musician, there is a lot that happens. That you strike 2 notes or 3 notes, And the fact that you like it or dislike it in a certain way is such a part of your unconscious. I've written what people have said, oh, that's a wonderful melody, if they have. And it came out of, it really came out of the your unconscious.
Yeah.
I swear I didn't write it. It came from my training. It came from things my mother liked. I don't know.
All of that stuff put together.
And yeah.
Because we could say a very common question for composers is, who influenced you? You know, what writers, you know, were the ones that you said, that's where I, you know, got my voice, or that's where I...
Well, I know I admire the attitude of Berlin a lot.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Cole Porter, more than I do, say, Jay-Z, whom I got to know slightly.
Yeah.
And I don't share much with him, except he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But I don't have that same experience with carrying drugs and... You know, and all that.
Right.
Or at least you won't admit to it on air. I understand that.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's okay. Let me ask you, there's so many wonderful...
Hey, by the way, how long is your program? It's not...
I'm so sorry. We will probably split it up into two parts.
Oh, great.
You okay?
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm very guilty about it because I'm enjoying it so much, and I should be working, but I'm enjoying it.
Oh, okay. We'll wrap up soon.
We will watch this. We will zip this.
We're enjoying it, too.
Yes, I'm so sorry. We're asking 90 million questions. A Broadway musical. Based on your experiences on Golden Boy, or not true?
Yes, it was based... What we tried to do was do a ridiculous musical based on doing a musical. And it was a good idea. And from the get-go, everything turned out wrong about it. And I can't explain it in a way. I don't have, even now, enough distance from it. It was a good idea. And I don't know, I screwed it up, Lee screwed it up, the director screwed it up, the actor screwed it up. I don't know, but it started to go, and I think it's like surgery. You can't get a Band-Aid. You think, I mean, sometimes you can.
Yeah.
Hello, Dolly, which Lee and I worked on, there was a very minor problem, which Lee and I were able to help Gower and Jerry
before
saw.
Before the parade passes by,
yeah.
Isn't that?
Yeah,
what
it was in that spot. Yeah. And but the rest of the show was swinging.
Yeah.
In a Broadway musical, we cast it wrong. The songs never... Everything was misplaced. It was like surgery where the guy attached the toe to the nose or something.
Yeah.
We just did it all wrong. It was a terrific idea. We loved it. And we knew the signs were bad and bad and worse. And we just kept trying to... And then Gower came in as a favor. And he made it even worse because in trying to make it better, the skin graft didn't take. So it was something that shouldn't have happened. It should have... But it was a good idea. Whatever it was, I can't even remember. It was about a basketball team or something, or a black company.
Yeah, the musical within the musical thing was called Sneakers.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. It was a musical about a black basketball team, and the musical within the musical was called Sneakers, and it had some wonderful songs, some great lyrics.
It's got... I really like the score, but there's...
You've
no
heard... there's an album of it?
There... Not a published album.
Oh,
there's a... Somebody, I think, brought their tape... Yeah, they brought their tape recorder into the theater. And
really? I didn't know that.
Yes, and I've listened to it.
You have?
And it's really... Lawyers is a really funny song.
Yes.
The titles...
You know, I don't remember the song, but I remember liking the song.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, you've written over 200.
Yeah. It's the title song is fantastic.
That I do know, yes. Because I used to play that. I like to perform on my show, and we had a song called A Broadway Musical. And I still like that song.
Huh.
A lunatic play that sings and dances. A Broadway musical. You got lots of dough and like slim chances. a Broadway musical. You go out of town, the sets fall down, the custom-made shoes don't fit. You've I wonder why you got into it. And that's just one of the things. A very smart lyric, I think.
Love it. I hope there's a recording of it somewhere.
Lee did the lyrics for that?
Yeah. Flowers for Algernon, which I just got to see. It was at 54 Below recently in concert. There's a wonderful recording of it. It's one that's very special to you, isn't it?
Well, they all are.
Yes, of course.
Flowers for Algernon, it was very tough to do. It was about brain surgery. It's a very oddball love story. And it moves me. My wife directed a company of it just recently at a college, and it brought tears to my eyes. And the audience just loved it. Mm-hmm. They stood. I have a feeling, in a certain way, it was before its time, which a lot of people say. But I do remember in London, some guy, he happened to be gay, but that was beside the point. In the lobby, he said, "What are they going to write about next? Throat surgery." He had some very bitchy remark about it.
Oh, that's
And the fact is, it came from a very famous book, and it's a fable, so to speak. And
it was way ahead of its time.
Well, I don't know. All I know is I saw it recently in a school production, and the audience stood and cheered.
As well they should. So for our listeners, if you're not familiar with Flowers for Algernon, which starred the Phantom's Michael Crawford.
Michael Crawford.
Before he was the Phantom's Michael Crawford.
Yeah.
It's very touching. It's very touching.
And it's the book is very popular still.
Yeah.
But the musical,
like,
it got good reviews.
Right.
And
in London, right? I mean, it was here.
Yeah, it was here.
It opened here.
But it was called...
When it first opened, it was in Washington, D.C. And it got raves.
Right.
Absolute raves. And I remember because Gower was in Washington with 42nd Street. Mm. And they got panned in Washington. And he said, "Congratulations." Huh. I said, "Something happens when you go from Washington to New York, it just changes everything." And around is exactly what happened. 42nd Street became a smash. Flowers for Algernon got mild reviews, not enough to be a hit.
Wow.
And in London, the same way. Got very good reviews, but didn't get great reviews.
Yeah.
So it's the show, obviously. But it's like everything you put in, well, you guys know.
Yeah.
It's really lovely though, and in New York was called Charlie and Algernon, right?
Yes,
I think so.
Yeah. You are, I think, the first team to write a sequel to their own musical success. Is that correct? You were the first with Bring Back Birdie.
Yeah,
we did, which could have been a good. I still like that show very much.
We've talked about it on the podcast
about it before.
Charles,
I like it. That was really screwed up by not him personally, but I think with Joe Layton.
Joe Layton, yeah.
Who fell in love with television. And we spent the whole show.
You've heard this before.
Yes.
We spent the whole time of the show where it should have been rehearsing and rewriting, where he was doing his complicated technical things. With televisions all over
the set. And we should remind our listeners that this sequel to Bye Bye Birdie, Bring Back Birdie starred Donald O'Connor.
Yeah,
And Chita Rivera coming back again to playing the same role.
Yeah. Were you trying to get Dick Van Dyke at first to reunite them?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
I think Dick became shortly after Birdie the biggest star in the world.
Oh yeah, with his television show very successful movies. On Bring Back Birdie. So this, what was the impetus behind making a sequel?
I think gluttony. I don't know why.
That's right.
Look, you two guys are writers. I don't know what impels you to do it. There's nothing else to do on Tuesday. So, I don't know. It was such a success and,
Yeah. It was, and you were aged a little bit. You know, and so it might have been like, well, I wonder what these characters are doing 20 years later. You know, there's an element
that was
to
it.
That. I mean,
I would say that was the score's motivation.
And it's a lovely score. The score is very lovely.
Thank you. I agree.
Was it fun to come back to those characters?
Well, it's all mixed up with the, it was a troubled show from a personal point of view. Was it Joe Layton who directed it?
Yes.
The authors didn't like him. There was just trouble from the start.
Yeah.
And I remember Mike and Lee, or Mike and I, had a fight with everybody. Nothing went right about it. And I don't know. It's hard to explain where things go wrong. It was actually... it was a lot of fun for Lee and I to write, and one of my favorite songs, which landed with a big thud, was called "Don't Say F-A-T in Front of Conrad," which was we played him as a kind of dummy, and you know, 20 years later, the audience never smiled. Lee and I had so much fun writing it. Who knows?
And that's part of it too, right? Yeah. I mean, you've probably written songs that you thought, well, this is good. And then the audience said, wow, that's amazing. And then songs that you thought were amazing that the audience just said, you know, you never know with an audience. Isn't that crazy?
Have you ever had a moment where you said to yourself, that's it, I'm done. No more.
No. Yeah. Because I was trained as a composer. And if the worst thing happened to me in the world, I wouldn't know what to do at 10 o'clock the next day if I didn't compose.
It's in your blood.
You can't
stop.
Yeah.
If you did not do this for a living, what do you think you might have gotten into?
Well, I was a piano player in bars, and I've seen a lot of elderly piano players in bars, and I often think to myself, there but for the grace of...
Yeah. But what if you couldn't touch a piano ever again? What would you end up doing? Doctor, teacher?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm going to puzzle over that one. I've been very lucky. I'm married the woman that I love. I love more all the time. I have four kids that I'm mad about.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm a lucky guy.
Yeah.
We've talked a little bit about Alan J. Lerner already with Dance a Little Closer. Rags. Rags is a huge favorite of so many people. And we keep... When's it going to come back?
It's this summer. It's opening in Goodspeed. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So it's going to be done at Goodspeed.
It's being rewritten now. The book has been cut down and changed a lot.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen the new book yet. And that's the next project I'm involved in.
Are you excited? Great.
That's wonderful.
Yes, I am. I always loved it. And Stephen loved it, too. And... Stephen, who has one of the big hits on Broadway, he signed a document to me. We dated it and stamped it with our own stamp, where he said, I will never write a musical after this, after Rags became a non-success.
Speaking of, what would you, you know, would you ever want to just throw
have
it all
the
way?
Stephen yet? Stephen Schwartz?
No, not yet. We should.
He's on our list. He's also on our list.
Well, to ask him about, tell him you saw the contract. I actually have it here.
That's
it?
Really
I,
funny.
Stephen Schwartz, dated...
I'm going to talk about it.
Never write a musical again, and signed, and we've made a fake notary stamp and everything. I have it somewhere in my closet.
Oh my God. Amazing. Well,
Rags, there are so many different compositional sounds that are going on in that show. How much of it was in your blood already? How much of it were you like, I have to seek this out to understand this world better? It's such an eclectic score that represents so many voices. So I'm wondering...
Well, you got it. I mean, I grew up... I went to public schools. I had a good private school education, good teachers in composition, a great love of our country. And like everybody in this room, we all came from... Russia or Germany or wherever, Ireland. In my case, my great grandparents came from Austria and Germany, and I don't know where he was coming. Barbara's come Russia. From Russia.
Yeah, Russia. Yeah, Russia and Germany. Yeah. Where do yours come from?
And so, England. I'm
oh,
English.
Yeah.
England.
European, so yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. I wanted to do that.
Yeah.
I think it's a great part about our country.
Oh yeah.
And you go to London. We've spent a lot of time in London. Everybody looks the same. Everybody looks like Prince Philip.
Yeah.
And we used to notice that because we're great walkers, Barbara and I. And I said, everybody looks like Prince Philip.
Yeah.
Nobody looks like you do or I do.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe that's a good thing on my end.
You know, I've often said that with Rags, you could go to Bye Bye Birdie, play the Nat score, maybe play Nightingale, maybe play Annie, and then play Rags. You would think it was three different composers,
yeah.
And I mean that as a compliment.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it is three different voices. I mean, the way that you can adapt to your pieces, I think, is commendable.
I think it's just because I care a great deal about, in Rags particularly, I care a great deal about my immigrant background.
Do you think your writing style has ever changed or adapted depending on who you're writing with as a partner? Do you think that other partners
not
inspired...
Not consciously. I mean, Alan was a learner who, you know, I was scared of. He had just come off My Fair Lady. And he said, do you mind if I sit here while you're composing? And I said...
Wow.
I said, no, I don't think so. Nobody had ever done that. Mm. But he said he got in the habit of doing it because Fritz never liked... to compose. He didn't like to work. And so he got in the habit of sitting there and saying, no, you
to
know,
make
I
sure
like
he would do it. Yeah.
How funny.
Yeah, so he used to sit and listen to everything, reading the paper.
Yeah.
And every once in a while he put the paper down. He said, what was that last thing you played? It was kind of nerve-wracking for me.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I think it would be kind of feeling like you got a monkey on your back there.
But I also had moments of where I would bring him a whole song.
Yeah.
He was the hardest working man I've ever met. People I know who worked with him, like Burton Lane, and even my wife, who didn't work with him, didn't like R.
Right.
He was a very, very neurotic man. Alan and Leonard Bernstein, whom I knew quite well at the end of his life.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we became. I mean, I knew him from Tanglewood. You know, I was
oh.
the first year of Tanglewood.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But we didn't become close friends, and he never performed a serious work of mine. But at the end of his life, after his divorce, particularly, but even during his divorce, I mean, during the last part of his marriage, Lenny and I became very friendly.
Wow. Mm.
And he also, it was at a time he was breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of his life, he was very sad.
Yeah.
But anyway, Lenny said to me, he said, you're going to work with Alan Lerner? He said, it's the worst fucking experience you could ever have. I know you got to cut that.
No, no, it's fine. That's good.
He said the thing that he remembers most was Alan had a yacht in, and he said, here he was in a rowboat rowing out to meet Alan's yacht in the Bay of Naples or something. And he said, what am I doing here? And he said, you're going to find that with Alan. And sure enough, you did. He when we worked on the show originally, he rented a castle in London. Outside of London.
Yeah, in the countryside somewhere.
That's incredible. That's
oh,
incredible.
Man, he sounded like he could throw a party, though.
Well, he on himself, he was okay. I mean, I loved him. My wife did not like him.
Sure, sure. Well, it seems like he was a specific personality type.
Yeah, he definitely was.
And then another favorite of ours, Nick and Nora, is going to be coming back for a little reunion concert, I hear. At Feinstein's 54 Below? Well, Charles, if you want tickets for your own show, just let me know. I will tell you that they're both selling like crazy, so there you go.
Really?
So yeah, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
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 That's nice.
Yeah, so just so you know. So
well, what's next for me, there are two things, but the thing that's most urgent for me is I've done something which I really should title Chutzpah. I've written a new musical where I've written the book music and the lyrics.
That's right.
And it's been very trying, but it's so much fun. I'm up at, I would say, 5 in the morning every day working on it.
That's what, that's your writing time is morning hours?
Yes, in general, but not usually that early.
Yeah, you're
But you're excited. Ready to go. I mean, is there a title? Can you tell us the title?
Yeah, it's called Notes.
Notes.
Yeah, and it's autobiographical. It's about a musician who... I would say basically me, but it doesn't touch every incident in my life, anything sure. like that. But it's about a musician like you. You can play the role.
Yeah.
It starts when he's 26, I think, and it's about maybe 10 years of his life. That's
fantastic.
All. And then a lot of it is made up. A lot of it is really biographical, but nobody knows the difference.
Sure,
that's
sure.
great.
Well, speaking of the book, his book, we should.
Oh, your well. Autobiography is fantastic. Put on a happy face, which
Thank
is
you.
Everyone read it. It's so good.
Which is available on you. Amazon. I think it's also available on Kindle now
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm doing some kind of event for it next week. 10 copies a year, but I'm really grateful for
oh,
it.
Oh, I love it. And I think the yeah. way you wrote it and laid everything out, the stories you tell in it are like
so
superb.
Wonderful.
I think if
That's
you really
so
want,
nice of you to say.
If you yeah. want an insight into the business, everyone, it's a great point of view and a great
yeah.
understanding of what it
That's
is
so
to be
nice
in this
of you
business.
To say. I had, oh, I know why it's in my mind. A friend of mine, a playwright, whom I saw yesterday, I don't know why it's not the first thing I said to you, a very fine playwright, said he had read it and he thought it could dramatize very well.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely. In a heartbeat.
Said, hey, you know,
yeah,
my cup runneth over.
When, last question for you is, when are we going to see a review of Charles Strauss's music? We have the Sondheim reviews. We have the Jerry Herman reviews, where it's an evening of
Even
music.
Even Frank Lesser. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When are we going to get the Charles Strauss one?
My wife is a director and choreographer, and I'd love her to.
I think that's.
Yeah.
Great.
Right now I'm so busy on this.
I know.
I love that you have a to-do list on the piano that says Charles to-do
oh, yeah.
list. It's so good.
I keep thinking now I'm done. I'm gonna. But
there's
so
always
many,
something more.
So many elements to a musical.
Well, especially when you're writing all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you really literally have to format it all. You have to do all the busy work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
And I write something, and there are a lot of repeats, so I'll just put repeat. Eight
sure.
Chords.
Sure.
I have to write it out for somebody.
Exactly. Eventually,
yeah.
piano player's got to.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Well.
We are so grateful that you've spent so much time with
come
us.
On. We're all in this.
But thank you, and we cannot wait to see what's going to happen next. And
well,
for today and for everything that you've given us, thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
We really are thankful.
Till next time.
Till next time.
Take care, everyone. Bye bye.
I dreamed a dream of days to come where sponsorship is high and money is forthcoming.
That's beautiful, Kevin.
No, I really added a voice onto that one, too. I really was trying to go for something there.
Listeners, we love creating this podcast, but it does cost money. Please don't make me sell my Angel record.
Oh, my gosh, the original cast recording of Angel.
That, like, nobody has.
Nobody has it.
If you like what we are doing and want us to keep doing more of it, please head over to patreon.com.
What?
That's patreon.com.
Patreon.
Patreon.
Yeah,
Patreon.
Rion.
Patreon.
Yeah, and once you're there, search for Behind the Curtain Broadway's Living Legends. And of course, we don't expect you to give without receiving some great rewards.
Such rewards include behind-the-scenes videos, shout-outs on future episodes, or episodes, depending on what part of the country you're from, because I said episodes, and early access to some of our podcasts. Hell, for the right price, Kevin and I will come to your apartment and act out all of Agnes of God.
So head over, friends, to patreon.com to help us out.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. and there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.